Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Good morning, I'm Roland Martin. Today on News One Now, we have a total focus on Justice or Else, a 20th anniversary of the Million Man March. Our cameras were there. We covered it extensively. You'll hear from Minister Louis Farrakhan. You'll hear from Reverend Willie Wilson, Tamika Mallory, Reverend Jamal Bryan, also Cornell West, Carmen Perez, Linda Sarsour. You'll hear from, of course, Harry Lennox, Chuck D, Ben Crump, a number of folks who were there, plus our exclusive interview getting Minister Farrakhan's reaction to today's developments, plus the mothers of Sean Bell, Oscar Grant, Trayvon Martin, also Sandra Bland. Folks, it's time to bring the funk on News One Now on TV One and Justice or Else. Thousands upon thousands of African Americans were here in the National Mall in Washington, D.C. on Saturday for the 20th anniversary march of the Million Man March called Justice or Else. It was called for by Minister Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam. It was multi-generational. There were African Americans, Latinos, Native Americans, and others who were there on Saturday, where the focus was on the issue of justice. Speakers at the march not only focused on tackling police brutality, but also talked about unity and the need for communities of color to pull together. For the next hour, we will show you a variety of speeches and also hear from various voices of folks who were there, who spoke from the podium as well. Let's start this off right now with a recap of various voices who spoke from the podium.
We built this nation, not just with our hands, but with our minds and with our spirits. And we come today to demand justice. We come to demand justice today, and the question must be answered by all of us. We are here today alert and aware that Black lives have not mattered. Latinos' lives have not mattered. Native American lives have not mattered. We're here today because many of us are not aware that if we have been lied to, lied on, lied about, tricked, and bamboozled.
Would you help me celebrate and salute for their incredible strength the family of our dear sister Sandra Bland? Come on, make some noise as they come now.
Good afternoon. I greet you on behalf of the family of Sandra Bland. My name is Sharon Cooper. I am one of the older sisters of Sandra Bland. I am standing in the gap this afternoon for my mother, Miss Geneva Reed Veal. I am standing in the gap for my older sister, Shantae Needham, standing in the gap for my older sister, my little sister, Siobhan Bland, and standing in the gap for my baby sister, Sierra Cole. And the biggest message that I want to leave you all with is the world has shown us that we have to control our own narrative. I want to say thank you to those of you who are here, especially the nation, for acknowledging us. And if I could just ask you to do one thing, can you say her name? Thank you.
For our generation, she is considered the Rosa Parks of the hip-hop movement, the one who really kicked this off for this new movement to get started and rolling. I need you to make a thunderous applause all over the District of Columbia. Help me salute the mother of Trayvon Martin, Miss Sabrina Fulton, as she comes now.
Good afternoon. I just want to let you guys know that a lot of times we think this is all about civil rights, but this is about human rights. This is about us knowing that we are not three-fifths of a human, that we have feelings and we have families too, and that we will not continue to stand by and not say anything anymore. That we will speak up and speak out. That God is watching what's going on. And I say to the families that's standing here before me, that don't hold your head down as if your child's life has been lost in vain. Hold your head up high. Your child was not the person that shot and killed someone else. Your child was murdered. That person's mother needs to hold their head down because they birthed a murderer. So stand up for who you are. Stand up for what has happened and continue to speak out. God bless you all.
We can't breathe, brothers and sisters. Oscar Grant, Rekia Boyd, Freddie Gray, Ayanna Jones, Maya Hall, Megan Hockaday. Let us remember the words of Ida B. Wells. The ones who commit the murders write the reports. America, we cannot breathe. Yet in between the gasp for air, in the silent pangs between our heartbeats, we speak their names. We say their names. And we speak it because we know that their name could one day be ours. We are here today to say that we choose differently. We will not allow the deaths of our brothers and sisters to go unnoticed. Right. Whether it be that they are killed by someone in our community or someone outside. Right. Now, Fox News will have you believe that we came here today to provoke violence. But we are not the violent ones. We are being murdered. We gathered here today to provoke peace, to demand peace. And we are obligated to stand for those who have been lost. When we say justice or else, we mean exactly that. So to my friends who have called me, who are scared with your skepticism, step aside, because ain't nobody got time for that right now.
20 years ago when we assembled, you'll notice that we were not asking Washington for anything. We were coming for atonement for ourselves, taking personal responsibility. No signed contract, but there was in fact a covenant for men who had a conscience. And immediately the enemy knew he was in trouble. Because there is power in unity. There is nothing more dangerous than a formerly oppressed man who has come to his own mind. When you show that you have purpose and you have a plan, then adversarial forces begin to show their hand. And over the last 20 years, the enemy was nervous because of what we did 20 years ago. So over the last 20 years, they have multiplied mass incarceration. Over the last 20 years, they have robbed inner cities of fresh vegetation. Over the last 20 years, they've invested in private prisons, but have defunded public education. For 20 years, they have been trying to shut down historically black colleges and universities. They've been trying to criminalize young black youth. They tried to hide the truth in these textbooks. And for 20 years, since we tried to rock the vote, they've been trying to hide the vote. But it is so important that we've come to Washington, D.C., because behind me you see they're working on the roof, but we came to work on the foundation. Something is wrong with America, and we came to fix it. Appearing almost as a move of God, as we began to converge from Compton to Baltimore and Cleveland, on this very week, the Department of Justice made up in their mind that they did something wrong. They over-sentenced. And in over-sentencing, they made up their minds that they're going to release 6,000 prisoners from the Department of Corrections. I want you in an amazing way, for the strength of our brothers and sisters who are the prisoners of the war on drugs. Would you give God praise for those who are incarcerated? And I want you to shout for those who are re-entering into society. From October 30th to November 2nd, the largest number of ex-offenders are walking out of prison. This is the very first time that we're going to see trickle down work in our favor. Because when they walk out, doors are walking out, and we're walking out everywhere. We're walking out of those who do payday loans. We're walking out of banks that'll give us loans for a car, but won't give us loan to start a business. We're walking out of establishments that do not, in fact, give us the dignity that we deserve. We're walking out of playing politics, of electing people who look like us, but don't think like us. We want to give a warning to every person that's running for president. If you can't say Black Lives Matter, you are not qualified to run the United States of America. There is an army of 1 million people, and we must be registered to vote. We must have an economic entity, and we must have a principle. We didn't come as beggars. We came as partners, because if it weren't for Black people, there would be no America. I came to speak the name of the man that matters. His name is Jesus Christ, and he was wounded for our transgressions. Rise up, Black people. Accomplish what you will. It's our time now. This is not an event. It's a movement. Forward ever. Blackwards ever. We've got to do it. Come on, Black people. Make some noise. Black is our.
And, of course, a keynote speaker at Justice for Else was Minister Louis Farrakhan, who delivered a nearly three-hour sermon.
I'm honored to be here in front of this great, great house that was built by Black slaves. So I don't think I'm encroaching on any American by standing on the ground that was paid for with the sweat and the blood of our ancestors. I loved my sister and those standing with her who championed the call that Black Lives Matter. I felt so happy to see her and to hear her and to know, and for her to know that she and Black Lives Matter are welcome, have a cherished spot because they represent the future leadership. You play with the lives of poor people, indigenous people, Black people, women. You play with the lives of soldiers who have given their lives on a foreign battlefield only to come home and be rejected and die while they're waiting for treatment and service. Why are you saying this in front of the Capitol, Brother Farrakhan? I want to show the world, hypocritical America, that is telling everybody that they're violating human rights, while in America there's all this dissatisfaction. Mr. President, we ought to be quiet, telling China, you gotta straighten out your human rights violations, going down to Cuba. Yeah, well, we're gonna have relations with you, but your human rights violations. See, as though you don't have no problem in America. We're trying to show the world these are problems here. And these problems demand resolution. And America don't have the heart to do it. I need 10,000 fillers. I want 10,000 men that we can train. because we got to stand between the guns. But you know what? When we go in our community to clean it up, guess who we're going to run into? We're going to run into rogue cops and wicked black people working together to suck the blood of the poor. So we have to sit with the police and we're going to expose all your rogue policemen. Because you know where they are? They're in the black community. You know why they're there? Darren Wilson said, I don't want to do police work in the white community. I want to do police work in the black community because that's where the fun is. You kill us and blame it on another gang.
Yes, sir.
That's the fun. But your days of having fun on our suffering is about to come to an end. I need 10,000 fearless black men. Now suppose we decided, okay, this Christmas, we kicking Santa to the curb. This Christmas, you're not gonna lie to your children telling them that this Caucasian from the North Pole brought them this gift. You're gonna tell them the truth. I brought you the gift, baby. Me and your daddy, we hustle, but not this Christmas. This Christmas, we're gonna sit around the table and we're gonna bring Christ back to a day that was supposed to honor him. And if you can put $400 billion and keep it in your pocket, then you've got a little money to invest. And what we want to do is buy up as much land. And we're asking the government for 100 million acres as a start. Oh, God, you have made me so happy today just to look into your beautiful faces. I want you, when you leave here, go home to your wives and your families, and before you leave, I want you to greet the people around you. Hug them and tell them, I love you. And from this day forward, this day of a demand for justice will never end until justice is ours. So the day is the beginning of that movement that will never end.
After the march, Minister Farrakhan spoke exclusively to TV1's News One Now about his thoughts on the day.
To help us get this crowd out today.
I appreciate it.
God bless you and your wife, the great minister.
I appreciate it.
All right,
bro.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll hear from the mothers of Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, Mike Brown, Sean Bell, and Oscar Grant. Also, we'll hear from Cornel West, Harry Lennox, Chuck D, and many others about justice or else. For the latest news, be sure to go to news1.com as well as the full segments of our various interviews we did on Saturday at Justice or Else. You can hit me up on Twitter at Roland S. Martin or at News One. This is News One Now on TV One.
First step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
Just as our ALS March was a diverse event bringing together people from different backgrounds, no more was that apparent than in the women who participated in the march. I talked to Tamika Mallory, Carmen Perez, and Linda Sarsour of the New York Justice League about their thoughts on the day. Tamika, I'll start with you. Lots of planning. A sigh of relief for you now that it's over.
Yes. Yeah, it is over, the event today, but the work ahead, I think, is going to be more significant than what we did today. You know, we often get caught up in event planning, but we're now talking about life planning. You know, how are we going to go forward? And I think that's where the real work is going to lie.
It's interesting. I've interviewed several people, and a lot of folks referred to even some of the mothers, the executive order that the governor of New York signed dealing with the attorney general investigating shootings involving police. New York Justice League was pushing that. When it comes to next item, and that's, I think, what a lot of people's mind, I kept getting, what's next, what's next, what's next? What do you say what's next?
Economic withdrawal, using our wealth and using our power, and I think uniting the people first, going back into the communities, talking to the young people, showing self-love so that we can then go out together as one, black and brown people, indigenous people, just like we saw here today.
I will say, just to add to what Linda was saying, is to also free our people that are incarcerated. You know, Justice League has continued to work, even though we've been participating in the planning, is that we still need to win our demands locally in New York, and we need to also get the three bills that we marched from New York City to D.C. passed. So there's a lot of work to do, and we're going to continue to fight. We're going to continue to be on the streets, even though it's going to get colder. We got to keep moving, and we welcome everybody to participate in that.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of the critics, especially those folks who are on Fox News, love running their mouths, talked about black-on-black violence and, self-responsibility. The men have dealt with that. So it's not as if that is divorced from the issues of social justice and the Black Lives Matter movement.
And it always has been a part. First of all, in this planet, we've talked about gun violence and what's happening in the community all the way through. But I personally have been involved in the gun violence battle after losing my son's father when my son was just 2 years old. It's been 14 years. I joined Justice League's efforts dealing with gun violence. Before we even got to police violence, we were dealing with gun violence. So anyone who says that is a detractor, is someone who is trying to find a way to discredit our work. But it's not real. And the people know it's not real because they know where we were before all of this even happened.
Let's be straight. You still got to blame it on the oppressor. The oppressor has taught our communities not to love each other. They have told young people that they're not are worthless. Our education system has told them they only have one track. So the only way they know how to deal with each other is to hurt each other. So that's why we got to go back into self-love. I still feel like white supremacy is what causes the hate or self-hatred in our communities.
Just to add to their saying, you know, a lot of the work that we have done and I've done personally myself has also been in communities doing nonviolent work. And so it's not mutually exclusive. We could do both at the same time. Talk about police brutality and also talk about violence prevention and intervention.
Are you also pleased with the growth of all of this in that if you look at 20 years ago, Million Man March, you look at 10 years ago, Millions More Movement, then you look at today, the involvement, the outreach in as related to women being a part of this. And I think a lot of people forget that 20 years ago was called a Day of Atonement. And that's why I had the focus for men as opposed to this time.
Well, yeah, and I think it's incredible the amount of young people that got involved with this and the fact that the mainstream media sort of blackballed us, right? They tried not to talk about this effort at all. And people use social media and shows like yours, Roland, to get the message out, phone calls, knocking on doors, and this is what happened today. So it tells you, basically, it certainly indicates to me that our people are connected in something that is bigger than watching Fox News and other TV channels. We really have a connection to one another. And they did that because every time one of ours has been killed, we've begun to get more connected and start working with each other closely.
I mean, I'm a Palestinian-American Muslim from Brooklyn, New York, and I was welcomed and embraced in all of me, asked to speak about the liberation of Palestinian people across the world. That just is one indication of the inclusivity of this movement, and I'm very honored to be a part of it.
All right, Carmen.
Let's keep it real. The minister reached out to us, and he was extremely intentional about who needed to show up today, and so here we are.
Coming up, more from Justice or Else rally, including interviews with the mothers of sons who were taken from them too soon. For the latest news, be sure to go to news1.com where we have extensive interviews that we did all day Saturday. You don't want to miss it. I'll be back on News One Now on TV One in just a moment.
I travel all the way from Boston to here with my kids because I want them to, you know, to be a part of the process and to feel engaged with their own roots. Because, you know, like Marcus Garvey said, if, you know, a person, if you don't know your roots, is like a tree without roots, it won't be able to stand, you know what I mean?
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
Back with our continuing coverage of the Justice or Else rally, the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March. Throughout the day, I had the chance to sit down and talk with a variety of folks, including the mothers who have lost young men and young women, not only to community violence, but also to police violence. Here are some of their voices. How have you dealt with being on this national stage and the death of your children serving as a rallying cry for the country, but also around the world?
I think what we are doing is what any mother would do if they lost a child. I think we standing up and making sure that our voices are heard for our sons who are not here. And so that becomes important to us in our fight. I mean, this wasn't our normal life, is to be civil rights or human rights activists, but this is the light that we were pushed upon and we were threshed into. And so I think we're just doing what any mother would do. We're fighting for our children.
Right.
Yes. Because we never knew that we would be in this position.
Right.
But now that we've been pushed into this position, we have to give it our all.
Mm-hmm.
And because our sons, their rights have been violated.
Mm-hmm.
Their equal rights, their civil rights, and their human rights. And we're here to stand together to try to right this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we also are looking at the fact that in the case of the officer who killed Mike Brown, no charges there. The officer who killed Eric Garner, even though everybody saw this video,
mm-hmm.
no charges. George Zimmerman is found not guilty. And so the three of you really embody this idea of no justice.
Yes.
When folks say, wait a minute, how can these things happen? And how can you have police officers, in the case in Charlotte, officer who killed Jonathan Farrell, same thing, jury deadlocked. The attorney general said, well, we're not going to prosecute further. It's just rare to see a police officer held accountable when they kill a black man.
And that's so true. And that's why we have to get this system changed. We in New York, we went to Governor Cuomo to get an executive order for a special prosecutor. So when these senseless killings take place, it takes it out of the hands of the local DA and puts it in the hands of the Attorney General's office. So we feel like we may have a more fairer playing ground.
Last question for each one of you. Mr. Farrakhan said, it's not what happens on 10-10, what happens on 10-11.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the one thing you want folks to work on, to focus on when they leave this gathering?
I want people to work on holding those accountable that should be held accountable. Take the uniform off and look at them for who they really are. The same thing they would do to us if I was the shooter.
Yes, and I want everybody, like they're united today, stand united tomorrow. You know, don't just come here for show. Let's stand together, unite together, and let's fight together.
And I think it's important that people know what's on the ballot. They're registering to vote. They're getting out to vote. They're making sure that they're participating in jury duty, and also they connecting themselves with a nonprofit that have the same goals in mind. So that's what they can do. They can connect themselves in their community with a nonprofit and get the work done. Show some action.
Now, you are in a different position because the death of your son, one of the rare cases where the officer involved actually went to jail. I mean, that frankly rarely happens. And even still, protesters and others say that even though he went to jail, that still wasn't even proper in terms of the charges that he was found guilty on.
Correct, and I agree. He only served 11 months in county jail. He never went to prison. And if our children do anything wrong, they send them straight to prison. And so I don't think we got the justice that we deserved, and we're still fighting and fighting with other families to help them to get justice that they need to deserve as well.
When critics say, look, Black Lives Matter, but all lives matter, how do you respond to that?
All lives do matter, but because of what's going on in our communities, we have to be sure to continue to speak out. Black lives matter because the disproportionate amount of things going on in our communities and the distraction that's happening with our families. Our families are being pulled away. So Black Lives Matter has to be pulled out because, of course, all lives matter. But because of what's going on in our families and the people that we're in connection with, that's a big deal. It's big.
Yes, even though all lives do matter, but it's happening to majority of the Black people, the Latino people. So that's why we're here, and you always hear in Black Lives Matter. We're here to help them, to stand with them, to do things that need to be done. It is always pointed at us, always stereotyping us, which it should not be that way, because we all made of the same thing, skin, blood, bones. We all are human.
And Black lives do matter, and it's important all lives matter, but Black lives matter, and until we come to the realization that all lives matter and that everyone should be treated equal, we will continue to say Black lives matter. If I cut a Caucasian person or a Black person is cut, they bleed the same blood, and so it's very important to know that one should not be treated differently. We should all be treated equally, and because we're not, you're hearing the cry that Black lives matter. And every 28 hours, an African American or brown young man is being killed by police or vigilante. And so we must work to ensure that our young men are being treated fairly and equally as other nationalities.
I've heard people say, well, these folks who've gotten killed by the cops, if only their mothers and fathers did their jobs.
That's the most ridiculous statement that one can make. You know, that's erroneous. That's crazy. We did our job, and the fact of the matter is, you know, and I think our case, frankly, our case is the only one. We're dealing with corporate America, because our son was killed in a Walmart, okay, shopping. So for them to make such a statement, you know, obviously they don't know what they're talking about, whoever made such claim. I believe right now we have the only corporate case right now, to my knowledge. Now, I could be wrong, but I believe that's accurate. So for whoever is saying such things, you know, they just simply don't know what they're talking about. You mean to tell me all these thousands of lives between last year and now, thousands of parents didn't do their job? You know, the footage, we have concrete evidence, footage showing, illustrating what happened. It was 205 cameras on my son, okay? So how can we justify parents not doing their job when we have evidence that shows otherwise? They simply are not doing their homework.
Law enforcement is not doing their jobs. If they were doing their jobs, we wouldn't have this problem.
Folks, coming up, we have more voices from Justice or Else. We will hear from Cornel West, Ben Crump. We'll hear from Harry Lennox, Chuck D. We'll hear from a number of folks. Also, we'll hear from regular, ordinary, everyday people who are out there. Thousands of people there for the Justice or Else rally. Later, you can go to news1.com for the full interviews. We're going to load up all of our video, and so you'll see everything that we have for our extensive coverage of Saturday's Justice or Else rally right here on TV1.
We have a lot of people who are successful compared to previous generations, but the solidarity and the community is not there. So hopefully this event will create that.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Well, Justice or Else rally on Saturday highlighted the need for institutional reform beginning at the grassroots level with social and civil rights activists. We already brought you some words from the women of the movement. Now we'll share some thoughts from the men, including Attorney Ben Crump, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, and Dr. Ben Chavis. Well, Ben, I got lots of mothers who are here. You represent several of them, their families. Why is this important for the country to see and hear?
It's very important. As president of the National Bar Association, we have to represent the issues, concerns, and the opportunities of not just black lawyers, but the clients we represent, like the Trayvon Martins of the world, like the Michael Browns in Ferguson, and the Alicia Thomases in Los Angeles, and Roland, you know, the countless of others who get killed in highly questionable circumstances who don't get justice unless we fight for it.
So, Ben, when you look out on this crowd here, so we see, I mean, all of these folks here, folks going back here, we've got people over here as well. I mean, it's clear that people want justice and they want governments and police officers to be held accountable for their actions.
Absolutely. When I met with Attorney General Lynch, it was very, very important that we talked about not only accounting us when we are being put in jail, when we are being sentenced to life felonies, when they're charging our children as adults, further feeding the school to prison pipeline to support the prison industrial complex. We also want it to be counted when police do illegal things like shoot our brothers and sisters in the back, when they tase us to death, when they put us in illegal chokeholds, ending our lives way before it's time. We want that database too, Roland. We need a federal database so we'll know when we go into court room what the statistics are.
What is the one thing that you want people to do when they leave here?
The one thing I want people to do is, it's not enough just to come to the rally. We got to go to the polls and vote. And my God, Roland, as a black lawyer and president of the black lawyers, we got to answer the jury summons. We need black people to serve on juries. That's the only way we have a chance at getting justice.
But you can't serve on a jury unless you register to vote.
In federal court, you cannot serve on a jury unless you register to vote.
Dr. Chavis, you were the man who was most stressed 20 years ago.
Yes.
You got to breathe a little bit this time. Your thoughts about Justice or Else 20 years after the Million Man March?
Well, I think there's a continuity. 20 years ago, it's interesting that the minister used the analogy about planting seeds. We planted seeds at the Million Man March. Those seeds have flowered. And I think what the minister is saying now, we have to cultivate. It's just not planting the seeds, it's how we cultivate the seeds. So I see that Justice or Else is going to be an ongoing movement. I think that's one of the things that came out of today, that all these people came from around the country. They're going back to their local communities, revitalized, focused. And I think undergirding, which I think was different from 1995, is the whole economic question. Economic parity, economic justice, economic equality, but also reinvesting some of that $1.2 trillion that we spend every 12 months. So I think this is going to be good for black-owned businesses. I'm so glad that TV1 stuck through the whole thing. And I think that this is the network, hopefully will be the network of record for Justice or Else.
It was amazing to, and I interviewed many of them, but it was amazing to see all of those family members come up.
Yes.
Who've lost sons and daughters, and I've met and talked to many of those mothers on radio and television, but to see them all gathered in one place, I mean, you really see how significant these shootings are, where nearly in every case a cop got off.
That's right. It shows that this is a systemic problem. And a systemic problem is going to require a systemic solution. It has to be ongoing. It's not about putting one cop behind bars. It's about changing the behavior of police toward African Americans and other people of color. It's interesting that while we've made some progress, we still have a significant racial divide rolling in America. And to see all those family members in one spot at one time, at Justice or Else, obviously it puts now the pressure point on the or else, because we have to be a part of the or else. We have to be a part of that or else solution to this systemic problem.
20 years ago, a group of folks came from your church here, and it was an amazing day. What do you most remember about that day?
A sense of unity among Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Sikhs,
that I had never seen prior to 20 years ago. I was just sharing with the gentleman from the final call. One of my hopes is that beyond a national gathering, that we can start doing that at the local level.
And that's a critical point, that because you look at the laws, most folks realize you can ask Congress to do something, but the reality is we need to be going after governors, the state legislatures, the county commissioners, and mayors. That's where the most folks are impacted by social justice policies.
Exactly. And I was saying to the gentleman from Final Call, I think I see it as a both and. I see both legislative issues in terms of policy, but in terms of persons, that Muslims and Christians need to talk to each other beyond the mall, at the local level. In so many of our towns, Christians and Muslims have no dealings whatsoever. The average Christian can't tell you the difference between the Sunni or the Shia or the Nation of Islam. We have unity at a gathering like this, but it needs to happen in Detroit. It needs to happen in big cities, metropolitan areas, and small areas where Christians and Muslims work together in spite of what we believe in terms of our future and our children, while pushing for policy change at the legislative level.
Are you impressed with what you're seeing by this generation of activists tied to the Black Lives Matter movement?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, a lot of people say, oh, man, nothing has happened, but I've been covering it. So a whole lot has happened.
Well, I'm very impressed with it now. My grandchildren and my youngest child is part of that Black Lives Matter movement, and I'm very impressed with what they're doing. I'm very impressed with the fact that they're not waiting for a leader to come show them or tell them what to do, but are working on so many different levels, particularly when it comes to women, when it comes to LGBT issues, when it comes to equity in education and healthcare disparities. I'm very impressed with this younger generation.
Coming back, we'll hear from Brashear Gray of Empire, also Russell Simmons, my man Chuck D, talking justice or else right here on TV One's News 1 Now.
Many times people look at this march as the culmination, and this is actually just the very beginning. This is the information that goes out, it's justice or else. I want the people to go back to their communities and demand justice or else. And the or else has to be when we start to take the things into our own hands, when we have our own foundations.
If not for Kashif, Whitney Houston may have never happened.
Kashif's illustrious life started from a very dark place.
My father would tie my feet so he could whoop me at his leisure.
The remarkable Kashif on an all-new Unsung, Wednesday at 8 on TV One.
If you want a president who will listen to you, then you're looking at her.
The CNN Democratic Presidential Debate, Tuesday night starting at 8:30 Eastern, only on CNN.
Kellogg's Frosted Mini Wheats. 8 layers of wheat and one that's sweet for the adult and kid in all of us. Kellogg's Frosted Mini Wheats. Feed your inner kidult.
Every coconut has a dream to come out of its shell, to show all the world its true inner beauty, and then, in an ironic twist, get covered up by chocolate and almonds. Almond Joy Mounds. What every coconut wants.
A number of celebrities were at Justice or Else in D.C. on Saturday, including Dave Chappelle. Diddy was also in the house. Snoop Dogg was there, plus Radio 1's Donnie Simpson. I spoke to a few of them to find out why they showed up to support the rally, including Chuck D., Russell Simmons, and Brashear Gray of Empire.
Why'd you want to be here?
Man, because it's iconic, you know, it's the anniversary, it's legendary, this is something that will not happen no time soon, so I would like to be here and just, you know, be in the presence of goodness right now, you know, pray a little bit.
You have a number of folks here. I've talked to countless mothers. They've lost their sons and daughters to violence. What about what you see with the Black Lives Matter movement and how folks are actively involved in issues and trying to get justice all across the country?
Yeah, I mean, just like the Trayvon Martin situation, you know, I just met his mother, and there's a lot of heart, you know, hurt mothers here today, and they're working together, which I love to see, black women and black people working together to uplift each other, so that's beautiful, man, and I'm just happy to be a part of it, you know, I feel like now that we're working together, it's only going to get better.
Russell, your thoughts on this day?
Well, I think the message of self-love is always welcome. Every time the minister speaks to a crowd of this size and talks about love and taking care of the family, and affirming our relationship with God, it's always very helpful. I think the most powerful things for me, where I can be a good servant, I think when he talked about redistributing the pain, I think there are some corporations that are obviously not paying attention to their consumers. And maybe if we just choose a few, maybe even only the biggest retailer who's got $30 billion and gives back to black vendors and designers less than 0.5% of their $30 billion, and $15 billion comes from black and brown communities, yet no black people are involved. Maybe maybe they can redistribute the pain in places where there needs to be, never mind a small diversity program that never yields any success stories, but a real conscious effort to be inclusive to the black community. So that's one very powerful thing. Also, there are things in Congress. We talk about police. I mean, a GoPro would make a great TV show for a good cop and a terrible one for a bad cop. They should all have GoPros. What Governor Cuomo did in New York State with the work of the Justice League was very, very important. He gave special prosecutors so that way the police don't have to police themselves. And we know that's a horrible outcome because if your brother kills somebody, you bury the body. And that's what police have been doing with their local DAs. And there's also lots of discussion about making it national. And there are bills that we can put in front of the president before the end of the year for prison reform, that will make a dramatic difference. So there are things that we have to do to push our congressmen and senators that are based on these justice principles.
Here, my man, Chuck D.
Yeah, you know, the difference is for 20 years ago, you never thought there'd be so many cameras on phones.
That's true. Everybody now is a journalist. Just your immediate impressions of today.
As with the last time, I think people have to grasp on us as a people that the diaspora is important. And when Minister Farrakhan talks, he talks from a worldwide perspective. But also, could you get like this helicopter kept swirling? That ain't y'all's helicopter.
No, that's not us.
It's obscured with that loudness to, you know, the important parts of the speech. And it's funny, you know, they see a whole bunch of black folks in the middle of a big, you know, lawn in front of the Capitol, then it becomes a news story. But it's a worldwide importance that we got to grab hold on is to get together. We're really at a serious point of desperation, and that's why there was an appetite to clamor and want Minister Farrakhan to speak longer, 3 hours of it. It was a sermon. It was a barn burner, and respect us for people too. Not only Black Lives Matter, but Black Love Matters. So that's, you know,
I mean, if there was one thing that you could say that what's next you would like folks to focus on, center on.
One, you know, black folks just need to get a passport just symbolically to make a statement in the United States of America, because if we're not attached to the rest of the world, we're going to be scattered as individuals and individual accomplishments 100 years after 1915, right, which was 50 years after 1865, amount to individual and not something that we can grow from collectively. So then, you know, the conversation is going to be about the 85s and the 10% and the 5%, the poor righteous teachers of the planet Earth.
For you, what's next?
Well, you know, to try to each one teach one and tell people that human spirit is that we got to grow together with the earth, man. We got to grab a hold of us. Black love matters. You know, we got to love ourselves before we love anybody else.
More Judges or Else when we come back on News 1 Now.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News 1 Now with Roland Martin, every weekday morning at 7 on TV 1.
Thousands of folks came across the country to attend Justice or Else, and we had a chance to chat with some of them about the day. Here it is.
was an event that needed to be had, and I'll sum it up or I'll rephrase it as Minister Farrakhan said it. There's no need to pass a torch without it being lit. And so if you wanted to be lit and ignited and to have your love and passion for the Black community refueled, this is the place you were supposed to be today.
I was destined to be a part of this, especially coming from the line that I'm coming from, my family, who it is. I know that this is where my work is done. My work is done here on this level with these brothers, like the brothers in Ferguson, working with the Mighty 13, so we can take the messages that Minister Farrakhan taught us here, that he shared with us, and take it out in the world. It's not just to be here and hear it, but you have to be here, you have to hear it, you have to digest it, and then you apply it in your community so that our communities can be a better place for us, our children, and those coming behind us.
20 years later, I figure if we're able to come together now and keep that unity going, we'll be even stronger now than we are.
We came for unity. We unified in a very strange way in Ferguson on the front lines after the eve of Mike Brown. And we came to unify with the entire country with the marching orders for what we had to do nationwide, because we know for the real change what we need, especially economically, it had to be more than just pockets, and it had to be more than just one at a time. We had to do it together, and we have to have the discipline to stick it out.
I believe in the Frederick Douglass quote. It's easier to train up a child than it is to re-educate a broken man and heal a broken man. And I think that when we begin to teach our community and people more so about the value of being themselves and understanding themselves other than being doctors and lawyers, then we as a people, as a Black people, we move along in the world today on a global scale.
It helps us to be able to properly move forward in this fight against human unity, not just a specific race, but predominantly Blacks, because we do matter. And essentially, it's not, Black Lives Matter doesn't necessarily just mean Black Lives Matter and nobody else's life matter, but it's putting a magnifying glass on Black Lives Matter, because
All right, folks, tomorrow on News One Now, we'll still have more from Justice or Else. We'll also have our panel to talk about the what's next that you have to get focused on. Folks, go to newsone.com for more complete coverage of Justice or Else. For News One Now, TV One, I'll see you tomorrow. Holla.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.